So if you ever want to say something that shouldn't be on the internet, you got to press that little stop button before you say that.
You're going to edit this.
Or I could edit it. For a fee, I could edit it.
Amen. He's not listening. I'm not paying a bit of attention. This is not on. Amen. Precious. You want me to sing that?
That's a good song.
It is a good
song. Bringing back memories. And I hope my grandchildren sometime will sing that song. Because of me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I am sure that Brother Thrun? What is his name? Over there in
Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea. After you called it the armpit of the world, he's in Samoan Islands.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. You got it right. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you. I met him. He was here when I was here one time. And him and his family, and I preached a message, and he copied it all down and asked me if he could preach it, and I said, yeah, go ahead. And I said, it is copyrighted, so please, all proceeds come on. But then after he left, I preached about these missionaries going to these awful places, and Papua New Guinea was one of those awful places. The armpit of the world. Amen. Well, they still need the gospel, right?
Yeah.
All right, turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalms. And I'm going to apologize to you. Years ago, I remember a preacher sitting down with me saying, never apologize for your message. But I've got such a simple message tonight that the simplicity just embarrasses me that I'm preaching it.
Amen.
But I got to thinking about this. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, I fear you've left the simplicity of Christ. And so it's the simplicity of Christ that is very important for us. But I don't think I can get the whole message in tonight. So I might have to divide it in two and finish it tomorrow night. But 26 points. 26 points in this message, and so I'm going to have to preach fairly quick to try to get it in. You know? But I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if it's a good message, but it's a message we all need. You know, last year when I came, of course the preacher didn't remember I was here last year. He tried to talk me out of the fact that I was here last year. You didn't come last year. I was here. And I said, my notes tell me I was here. Well, I don't remember you being here. But anyhow, we talked about Bible memorization, and some of you got started then, and some of you probably have already started that. And you got the little 3x5 cards, and of course, on the bold side, you put the address, and on the lined side you wrote the verse, and you've been working on that, and I praise the Lord for that. And the more Bible you learn, the better off you are.
Yeah, amen.
And then, we can't overemphasize the Word of God, how important it is. If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And that's what they're trying to do, is to destroy the foundations, try to take our Bible away from us, and try to tell us it's a dangerous book. You realize there are actually some countries in the world where this Bible has been outlawed, and it's actually illegal to have a Bible. And it's so sad. We're going back in history. There was a time when the Roman Catholic Church banned Bibles, and they didn't want in the hands of the common people. All of a sudden, there came some men like Wycliffe, and he translated the Latin Vulgate into English. And then there was a man by the name of Tyndale that came along, and Tyndale was a tremendous man of God, and translated the Bible into English. And I am so happy and proud to be a part of that. They handed down to me an English Bible, and I can get up in the morning and open a personal Bible that I own. Amen. And that I can get into. And I was teasing my grandson. He wanted me to buy him a Bible today, and he's already got a dozen Bibles. We've bought him Bibles every time he turns around. Every time he has a birthday, he gets a new Bible. And but I told him once, you can't have too many Bibles. And I don't think you can. But I got to looking around our house. We've got a Bible in every room, maybe two or three in every room. And there's parts of the world that have no Bibles. And that's what's really sad. But the Bible, it's so vital to us as Christians. And you'd be surprised how many Christians never open their Bible. Never open their Bible. Never read the Bible. I still find Christians that have never read their Bible completely through. They've never read it from Genesis to Revelation. Have never taken the time to read the whole book. Some years ago, there was an old man that was sitting on a park bench. This is a true story. And I was out walking early in the morning, and he was sitting there holding his Bible. And I sat down beside him, and I said, "What are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading my Bible." I said, "Oh, you made a habit of reading your Bible." "Oh, yes, I read my Bible every morning." I said, "Oh, then you've read it through." "Oh, no, I've never read it through." I said, "Well, what are you reading?" He says, "Well, whatever I open it up to, that's what I read." And he says that he's done that for years. He just opens up the Bible and starts reading. I said, "Well, how much do you read?" He says, "Just that page that's open." I said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "Oh, probably not. Most of it I don't understand, but I still read it." I said, "Do you go to church?" And of course, I knew he did because he lived right across the street from us. He went to a Christian church, and he told me that. And I said, "Well, do you actually know the Lord is your Savior?" "Oh, yes, I'm saved." And he had a pretty good testimony. But I said, "You know, you're never going to grow as a Christian." He was an old man. He was in the 80s probably then, and maybe older. And I said, "You're never going to grow as a Christian just opening your Bible and just reading a few verses. You need to get into the Bible and dig and study the Word of God." The Bible says study to show thyself. And study requires more than just a mere reading of the Word of God. It talks about meditating upon the Word day and night. And so you have to get into the book and dig. And to study, you're not just staying in one portion. And by the way, I get away from talking about the old gentleman because our conversation was cut short for some reason. I can't remember, but this book is made up of 66 specialty books, and every one of them has a particular purpose, but at the same time, it's one book, and we've got to understand that, and this book all fits together. It works together. Amen. And that's why you don't build a doctrine out of just the Gospel of John. You go through the whole Scriptures, and it has to work throughout the Word of God. I am a firm believer that all the doctrines of the Bible started in Genesis because it's the beginning. In the beginning, God. That's where it all began. And all the doctrines that we have today that we preach and that we study had their beginnings clear back there in Genesis. We find that salvation was pictured in the Old Testament Genesis and so on. And I'm not going to get into all that right now. But the Bible is so vital for us as Christians. This is what we need, is the Word of God. And the sad thing is that so many Christians avoid the Word of God. This is our foundation right here. If we have anything, we have to have the Bible to prove where we stand. I remember Bill O'Reilly, and I don't know if you've heard of him. I'm sure you have. The O'Reilly Factor. I used to watch that religiously. I loved that show until one day he had a Baptist preacher on there. And he was arguing with this Baptist preacher. And he said that the Word of God was nothing but myth. Now here's a Roman Catholic that says the Word of God is nothing but myth. You know what I did? I shut Bill O'Reilly off and haven't watched him since then. People, Christians, buying his books like they're going out of style. And I want to tell you something, I wouldn't read a word that he writes. Myth. It's not myth. This is the truth. This is the Word of God. And it's not a myth. And also, he said that the Word of God could not be used in the public square today because it's the Bible. And the Bible can't be used in any arguments today. Well, if we can't use the Word of God, we've got nothing. If the foundation's destroyed, what have we got? We've got nothing. We have to have the Bible to stand on. Listen, when we start talking about evolution or creationism, without this book, we've got nothing to stand on. We have to go to the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It didn't happen by a big bang. It happened because God spoke it into existence. We believe by faith, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, that God made everything out of nothing. And listen, I want to tell you something. He took nothing and made something out of it. Only God could do that. Man certainly couldn't do that. Man can't even figure out creation right. Man figures some big blob was floating around out there and all of a sudden it blew up. Well, where'd the blob come from? There has to be a beginning point. It had to have come from some place. The big blob just floating around for eternity and then all of a sudden it blows up and everything falls into place. Well, I don't, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I scratch my head on that. Because the fact of the matter is, they say, well, you have to have faith to believe what you believe. Well, don't you have to have faith to believe in evolution? See? Folks, I want you to understand something. We've got something that means something as the Word of God. I want to talk about the Word of God. Look here. Oh, you're too comfortable. Stand up. Everybody stand, and we're in Psalm 19. I almost forgot I have to make you uncomfortable. Look down here in verses 7 through 10. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Look at verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we can gather here in your house, and we can open your Bible. We still have the freedom in the United States of America to do that. We can preach it still, Lord, and I pray that you'd bless this time that we have together. Give us exactly what we need. Encourage us tonight in your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to show you the Bible from A to Z. From A to Z, I want to show you the Bible. Now, we're going to have to preach quick to get in at least half of this message tonight, but I want you to think about this. A, the Bible has the answers. The Bible is the answer book. Matter of fact, over here, now get your walking fingers on. You're going to have to use them quick. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Well, what are they studying? They're studying the Word of God. You see, they're studying to answer. Proverbs 15:28 is where that's found. Now, so this is the answer book. Think about this. One of the things that really bothers me about bookstores is you go into a bookstore and they have all these books telling us everything about the Bible. And you know what? I've bought books like that and I found out that I had to go to my Bible to explain what they're trying to talk about in that book. And I'm convinced that all the answers are found in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know something? I really believe that we don't need commentaries because the Bible is His own commentary. If we would pray and ask the Holy Spirit of God to show us what the Bible is teaching us, that He would teach us from the Word of God. It's the answer book. It has all the answers to life, everything that goes on in life. It has the answers of way to the way to live. It has the answers concerning marriage. It has the answers concerning our money problems. It has the answers concerning our work. It has the answers concerning our social habits. It has the answers concerning our communication with one another. It has the answers. All we have to do is look in the Word of God. This is the way, walk ye in it. How? Well, according to the Word of God, it has the answers. I believe with all my heart that we can find the answer to any problem in the Word of God. All we have to do is search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Get into the study to show thyself approved. Study the Word of God. You know, I remember some years ago, I had a young couple that called me up and said, "We're having problems, so would you come over and talk to us?" And I said, "I'd be happy to." And I went over to their house that night, and I had my Bible, and I sat down in an easy chair across from the couch where they were sitting. And they started talking about all their problems, everything. They couldn't get along with each other, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And I thought they were going to get in a fight and start knocking each other around right then. And so I opened up my Bible, and the lady says, "No, we don't want to get into the Bible." They thought I was going to have some kind of a quick fix here, without using. Well, I said, "Why did you call me for? There's no reason for me to be here. All the answers are in this book. I don't have a quick fix for you. I can't do anything without the Bible." And they're sitting there, and they say, "Well, you've got to have something for us." I said, "Well, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. You guys can't get along with one another, right? You're having problems. You don't see eye to eye about anything. The husband can't do anything right. The wife can't do anything right. Well, I'm going to tell you something. My Bible says," and the woman's saying, I said, "Let me finish. My Bible says that if you can't love each other as brethren, love each other as enemies. My Bible says to love your enemy, do good to them that hate you, despise you, and so on." I says, "Start treating each other like an enemy. Like you're supposed to treat your enemy." You know what? They didn't like that. They ended up getting a divorce, and they wouldn't listen to anything I had to say anyhow. But the fact of the matter is, it's still got the answers. It's got the answers. You got family problems. You know what? The Bible's got the answers.
Amen.
It's got the answer for where you can spend eternity. It's got the answers. The Bible is the book of books. You know, I've got friends that spend more time reading books than they do the book. And a lot of people do that. Now, I love books. I love to read. I spend a lot of time reading. Matter of fact, I set apart a big part of the day just to read. That's a big part of my day. But I want to tell you something. I try to spend more time in this book than I do any other book. And this is the book of books. You know how I know that? In Psalm 138:2. The Lord says that He's magnified His Word above His name.
Amen.
And you know what? His name is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. But this book is magnified above His name. This is a glorious book. This is the Word of God. And it is the book of books. Somebody say, "Well, we're coming close to worshiping the book." Well, we can almost do that because it is the very Word of God. And it would be good for us if we treated it with more respect than we do. Too many people don't treat it like it is the Word of God. I've been to people's homes and I've asked them, "Do you have a Bible?" And they have to go search for it. And they spend the next 45 minutes to an hour searching for their Bible. They bring it out and they're blowing the dust off of it. And you open it up and it's got dried up leaves in it. Or else you go into a home and there's a Bible sitting there with 10, 11, TV guides on top of it, or Time magazine, or whatever magazine they're reading at the time, and they have no respect for the book. They come home from church, and if they do carry their Bible to church, it didn't get opened at church, and they just throw it up on some shelf someplace, and that's where it's at until the next time they go to church, if they do take it to church. You know what? I was at a place one time that had a Bible sitting there and a can of beer on top of it. Folks, let me say something. This is God's Word. We need to respect it as such. This as the Word of God. This is God's love letter to us. And He's taken the time to give it to us. And we need to understand that. I'm going to get into the Scripture later. But it's given to us. This is His gift that He's given us. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Next, see, the Bible has God's commandments. Look, if you will, in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Notice what it says down here in verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. You know, sometimes we get weighed down with the do's and the don'ts and all the things that we're to do and all the things that we're don't. The Bible says it's not grievous. So we find that this is the commandments of the Lord. If you love me, keep. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 14. And I'm sure your Bible, if it's just like mine, says the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. So this is the commandments of the Lord. And we've got to understand something. God didn't just say things just to be saying it. He didn't have it put in a book just to be put in a book. He didn't write a book just to say, well, I wrote a book. You know, a lot of people in this world write books just to say they wrote a book. I'm an author. I'm an author. Okay. Present company excluded. But the fact of the matter is, this is more than just a book. This is the commandments of the Lord. Now, I understand a lot of people not very happy about the commandments of the Lord. You know, thou shalt not steal. Well, we'll justify stealing somehow. Thou shalt not kill. Well, there's always a right killing. Thou shalt not do this. We have a way of taking the commandments and wadding them up and throwing them through a window and saying, well, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. But it's God's commandments, and we need to honor those. The Bible is to be declared. To be declared. Think about this. Look back here. I've got your walking fingers on. Psalm 119. Notice what it says. Psalm 119. And go to verse 13. Psalm 119. I think it's verse 13. We'll try this. Yes. Verse 13. Says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. That's the word of God. I have declared that. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, do you realize that the preacher has been given the responsibility to open the word of God and to preach it? Now, it's foolishness for me to get up here and read all kinds of poetry. It's foolishness for me to get up here and tell you the news of the week. It's foolishness for me to get up here and to read the newspaper or Time magazine. It's foolishness to try to bring you up to speed on what's going on over in the Middle East. It's foolishness for me to do that. That's not my responsibility.
Amen.
If you want the news, go get the news from Fox. Or don't go to CBS, but go someplace else. Amen. Get your news other places. I'm not here. I'm not the newsboy.
Amen.
What I am is the messenger from God. I'm to preach the word. This is what I'm to declare is the word of God. Do you realize the only thing that's going to change your heart tonight is the word of God? It's nothing else. There's nothing else other than the working of the Holy Spirit of God and the word of God. That's the only thing that's going to change your life. Now, folks, please, you know, I respect other men of God. I'm not trying to run anybody down, but I get so tired of men of God getting in the pulpit with all the statistics of suicide and all the statistics of alcoholism and all the statistics of drugs and all that. Listen, you can get all that off the internet. You don't need me to tell you that the world is drinking themselves to death and shooting themselves up to death and dying of drug overdose and killing their babies and doing all the things that they do. Listen, the world is in sin. They're doing what comes natural. The only way this world is ever going to change is get the Word of God. Declare the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's all we've been given the command to do. Is preach the Word of God.
Amen.
We cannot go and open up the news. What foolishness that would be. You can read the newspaper for yourself. I want to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, it's to be declared. The E. The Bible will endure. Look, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, well, you're already over there. I'm going to read you a verse here in Psalm 119. But go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Keep on working. Verse 160 of Psalm 119. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
Amen.
You know, people have tried to destroy this book. Matter of fact, the Roman Catholic Church, when Tyndale translated his early edition, I think it was 1524, his early edition came out of the New Testament. And it spread through England like wildfire. People were getting saved. They were reading the Word of God. They saw the reality and the oppression of the Catholic Church. And they were enlightened. And they saw hope. For the first time, they saw hope. And they were reading the Bible. And the Catholic Church didn't like it. And they went through and they collected all the Bibles they could. And they pile them up and burn them and try to destroy it. Do you think that stopped the Tyndale Bible? No, it kept coming.
Yeah.
Just kept on coming, kept on coming, kept on coming. I mean, you know, as bad as Germany has been through the years in history, this is one time we can praise God for Germany, because almost every one of those English versions of the New Testament were printed in Germany. And we can praise the Lord for that, as they kept finding their way back to England and kept finding their way into the homes of these folks. And kept finding their way as these people would sit around the supper table and they'd open up the Word of God and they'd read it. Oh, the persecution would start hot and heavy, but I want to tell you something. As they burned those Bibles, there was more being printed and there's more being shipped. I think it was 1534 that Tyndale's final edition of the New Testament came out. And when it came out in 1534, it might have been 1534 when he ultimately gave his life for the Bible. I might be wrong about that date, but 1534 I think was when his edition came out. And I got a copy of the 1534 Tyndale New Testament. And I read that Tyndale New Testament once every year. Once every year, just to think, there was a man who cared enough for his country that he gave his life translating the New Testament into the English language so they could know the same Savior he knew.
Right.
What a blessing. What a blessing. It'll endure. Look, if you will, 1 Peter. Oh, you're already over there, aren't you? Well, you got there quick. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 25. But. Now, there's a reason for that but right there. If you go back, look at verses 23 and 24. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Well, the incorruptible seed, of course, is the Word of God, right? But of incorruptible by the... What? Oh, isn't that what I just said? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. You know what? This book's going to be around long after we're gone. This book will still be in existence. Do you realize, I believe, that what's going to happen during the tribulation period, we're going to see the old devil. He hates this book, and we're going to see piles. Now, we won't be here because we're going to be gone. We're going to be in heaven. But they're going to pile up these books and burn them again. But there's going to be 144,000 evangelists saved, traveling this old world as itinerant evangelists. And they're going to be spreading the gospel message. And I want to tell you something. They can burn all the Bibles they want to, but there'll be more. Just like back when Tyndale was there. They'll be printing more. And they'll be spreading the word. And they'll be handing out their Bibles. You know, some people have this idea that during the tribulation period, nobody's going to get saved. I dare say there are going to be millions of people saved. Why? Because do you realize right now, there's not 144,000 missionaries around the world now. But there will be 144,000 missionaries going out preaching the Word of God. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. And they're going to be spreading the Word. Now the old Antichrist, he ain't going to like that. I know that's not proper English, but he ain't going to like that. He's going to be upset about that. He's going to try to destroy them. But I think those 144,000 have the seal of God in their forehead. Amen. And the old Antichrist, the old devil himself, ain't going to be able to touch them. They're going to preach the Word of God with boldness. And by the way, the two witnesses in Revelation that are going to be preaching, and I don't think they're going to be preaching on the Temple Mount. I think they'll be preaching in front of where the real temple will be. And I believe that the old Antichrist isn't going to be able to touch them until God lets him. And then they're going to be dead for 3 days. And then the whole world's going to be having a party because of it. It's going to be like Christmas. They'll say, we finally got rid of that old religion. And you know what? They're going to be resurrected and ascend up to glory, and the whole world's going to see that. Somebody say, how's that possible? Well, we can watch soccer games going on in England now, as if somebody wants to watch a soccer game. And we can watch what's going on all over the world. But I want to tell you something. The whole world, CNN, Fox News, CBS, NBC, ABC, they're all going to be watching. And they're all going to be televising it around the world. And technology and all these people. You know what? I was down in Kenya. People didn't have enough money to buy food, but they had a TV. They didn't have enough to feed their kids, but they watched TV. Every house had a TV going on. And folks, I don't know where they got their electricity from, but there was only one plug in the whole place, and that was to the TV. They didn't care about lights. You're in there in the dark. But that TV was on. The Word of God of endure. Now, also, very quickly, the Bible is the fear of the Lord. Psalm 19:9. We already read that. It's the fear of the Lord. By the way, we should fear God. Boy, I tell you what, that's what's the problem. You read Romans chapter 1, and you'll find out there is no fear of God in their eyes. There's no fear of God in their eyes. Listen, I got the fear of God when I realized there was a hell. And I was on my way to that godless hell. I got the fear of God that day. That's what drove me to an altar and got down on my knees and cried out to Jesus and asked him to do something for me that I couldn't do for myself. I asked him to save me. It was the fear of God. Then the G, the Bible is good. This is the good book. Amen? Oh, I've got a verse for that. Psalm 119. And over here in Psalm 119, down here in verse 39. Psalm 119, verse 39, it says this. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. This is the good book. I remember years ago, had an old evangelist that used to come through. And that guy, I can't even remember what his name was. One leg, he got one leg blown off when in the war, and he used to. D.L. Fruits was his name. D.L. Fruits, big guy, man, he was a big guy. He drove up in the front of that church in a Volkswagen Bug, back in the '60s. I want to tell you something, big guy, and he had his right leg blown off. So I don't know how he drove it, because back then they had to shift gears and do all kinds of things. But anyhow. He'd get out of that thing. Somehow he'd peel his way out of that Volkswagen Bug. And he had crutches, and he'd go up to the front of that pulpit and get up behind that pulpit and put his leg down on a stool. And when he put his leg down, you could hear it. And then he'd say, "All right, let's open the good book." Man, he'd boom it out. And he had a Bible. I don't know where he ever got a Bible that big, but that thing was a monster Bible. I mean, it was big. He opened that thing up. Let's open the good book. And I never forget him saying that. The good book. This is the good book. Out of all the books, this is the good book. And then, the Bible is holy. H. Holy. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's holy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice what it says clear down here in verse 15. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." This is the holy Bible. Some of those new versions come out, and I remember when one of the versions came out, all it had on the outside was something like Message or something like the Message. I don't want the Message. I want the Holy Bible. Something else, there was another one, just said Bible. No, I want the Holy Bible. That's what I want. Is the good book, the Holy Bible. Then the I. The Bible has the instruction that we need. We're here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." It'll instruct you in salvation. Look at verse 16. All scripture, all the holy scriptures, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is the instruction, boy. This Bible has the instruction that we need. Amen. You know, I got to tell you something. When I was a kid, I'm glad that I can look back to my childhood, and I'm glad that I had a preacher that instructed us in the Word of God. And he stayed faithful to that. He opened the Word of God and taught us every Sunday from the Word of God. I remember him preaching the Word of God. I remember the... Him. I remember as a little boy, I stood there and looked up to him and said, "I want to be like you." And folks, I have tried to emulate him in many ways because I remember how he loved this book. He loved the book. It's got our instruction. Then the J, the Bible is Jesus. This Bible is Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 39. Matter of fact, I mentioned this last night. It says, "Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Amen. See, the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you study the Word of God, you ought to study it a certain way. You know how? You ought to study to find Jesus. That's a study that will amaze you through the Word of God. And as you look at stories of Joseph, you see Jesus throughout it all. And I could go on and on, but we haven't got time right now. Then, the K. I want to do a couple more here. The K. The Bible gives knowledge. The Bible gives knowledge. Notice what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. The world is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You want to know why they can't come to the knowledge of the truth? Because they turn this book away. They call this a dangerous book. They make this book illegal. Matter of fact, you realize, and some people may not realize this, there have been states in the United States of America that have tried to outlaw the King James Bible. They have actually tried to do that. They failed. But do you think that's always going to be the case? They're always going to fail? No, one of these days they're actually going to get it accomplished. And they'll come along and try to take our Bibles away from us. That's why I believe you can't have too many Bibles. What you need to do is store some of them away. So when they come and take your Bible, well, sure, you can have my Bible. Go ahead and take it. You've got 10 others back there that they don't know anything about. Amen? And you can still study the Word of God. That's why you need to hide the Word of God in your heart. Amen. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The more Bible you have hidden in your heart, the more that you'll know and you'll have when you really need it. I've heard stories and I've read stories about people that have been put in prison and taken by the communists and taken by other regimes that hate Christianity. And in prison, they had no Bible. All the Bible they had was what they had up here and in here, their heart. And many of them would get with other prisoners and maybe they'd talk through a wall or send messages by clanking in a pipe. Then they'd all come up with different portions of Scripture. And I want to tell you something. It's so true. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Take away your Bible, then you'll know what you had. That's why it's so important for us to hide the Word of God in our heart. Then the L. The Bible is a lamp and a light. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is a lamp and a light. This is what you need to get through this life. This will give you the light in this dark world. I told you the story of the person who told me that if you live by faith in Jesus, that you're taking a leap into the dark. Mm-mm. You're taking a leap into the light. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light. You see, you're already in darkness in this world. This world is a dark, dark world. It's a cruel, cruel world. This world is not getting better, by the way. It's getting worse and worse and worse. The Bible tells us very plainly that in these last days, perilous times will come. These are dangerous days that we live in. We hear stories all over of how Christianity is being attacked in various ways. Listen, that's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse as the days get darker and darker. We need the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, I read a story some time ago about a light into my path. You realize if you go out in the dark, and say you're out in the woods, and you have a flashlight, and you beam it out way out in front of you, that doesn't help you very much. You know what helps you is when you shine that light down right in front of you, and you can see what's in front of you. I did that one time. I had that light shining out there. I still was tripping, falling over things. But you know what? If I have that light down where I can know where I'm going to step, that helped me. I wasn't tripping anymore. I wasn't falling down. That's what the Word of God does. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It'll show me where to step. The Bible says to walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly means to walk very carefully and cautiously. And that we can do that with the Word of God because it gives us the light and shows us where to step. Well, we'll start with M tomorrow night and we'll try to finish this up tomorrow night. But the Word of God is so important. I hope the simplicity of this message didn't turn you off. I believe that we need this and we need to be encouraged to continue studying the Word of God, to be drawn closer to the Word of God. One of the things I've tried to do through the years is try to get people to get into the Word of God and study it and realize this is the way to get close to God through His Word. This is the way to listen to God through His Word. How do I know what Jesus is saying to me? Get into the Word of God. In John chapter 15, He says, "If my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our precious Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given to us. I ask, dear God, that you would help us. Lord, help us to have a new appreciation for your Word. Help us to be drawn closer to you through your Word. Help us when we get up tomorrow morning, Lord, help us to open up your Word and to read it and ask you to open our understanding to the truth from the Word of God. Show us the marvelous things. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, please help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Open our Bible to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7 says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Verse 8. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Verse 9. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And in keeping of them there's great reward." Father, praise you and thank you that we can meet tonight. Thank you for what we've heard tonight. Thank you for this old book. Thank you that we could call it the Word. Thank you that for your Son. Thank you that we could call Him the Word. And Father, we worship you tonight. Praise you again and thank you for what we have sitting in our lap. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Whoop. Oh, and tomorrow night we're having a meal again. Potluck, okay? So
6 o'clock.